Hey everyone, welcome in to another Daily Editorial here on the KE Report. In this Daily Editorial, we are chatting again with Robert Sinn, also known as Goldfinger on CEO.ca, also writes for energyandgold.com. Now Robert, because you are a well-known technician in the space, let's start off with some of the metals charts here, starting with gold. I'm looking at a daily chart for gold, and look, April has been a good month for gold. However, some of that upward momentum has petered out just on the last about three or four trading days, but gold is still trading right around that 1775 level. What's your take on the setup and this rebound through April for gold?
Hi, Corey. It's great to be back on the show. I really appreciate the invitation. So speaking about the gold daily chart, so about a week ago, I posted a chart of gold on the daily time frame and sort of showing my target area for this first thrust off the double bottom at 1675 was just above 1800. So what we're seeing so far is it's not getting above 1800, at least not yet. Sort of got to 1798 a couple of days in a row, and it's pulled back. But this is generally healthy price action. The downside level that I do not want to see gold back underneath is 1750. So that was sort of a key level in March, at least not on the first attempt. It was also near an area of support from February. So that 1750 to 1760 layer, as long as we're consolidating above there, this is healthy digestion. And it is setting up a move back above 1800. And so as long as we're sort of making this two steps forward and one step back pattern, the stair step pattern, it's quite positive for gold. Turning to the Huey, the gold miner, the gold bugs index chart, sector is down 4 days in a row as we speak here on Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday morning. But this is generally a pretty normal pullback that we're seeing. And on the Huey, the 282, 283 level is key support. And as long as we're not going back down, under that, 282 level, again, this is a standard pullback in the context of the uptrend that has formed since March. And actually, if this is really a sustainable trend higher, we should see the gold miners have a nice update here in the next couple of days. Obviously, with the Fed on tap on Wednesday afternoon, things could go any which way, but they could also definitely go higher, and the uptrend could make new highs for this move. And then the final chart that I'm focused on here this morning looks a lot different than gold and a lot different than a lot of charts out there. On the monthly time frame, the 14 period relative strength index for copper is now almost at 79. That's a very strong level of relative strength, but it's also characteristic of a very strong bull market. Now you could say, well, it's overbought, but of course bull markets, as we know, get overbought and they stay overbought. If we turn, to the daily copper chart, it's actually a textbook bull trend where pullbacks have found support at the rising 50-day. That's absolutely textbook stuff for a bull market trend. And copper is making new multi-year highs here this week above 440 per pound. So the only real reference point above is the first quarter of 2011 all-time high, which was about 465 a pound. And it looks like we're going to test that fairly soon. I wouldn't expect to go right through it on the first attempt, but stranger things have happened. But it's pretty clear that copper is in a tremendous bull market, and dips are to be bought until further notice.
Okay, Robert, hey, I don't think you're going to get any arguments on the bull market that copper is in, but when it comes to gold and even the gold stocks, again, April has been encouraging, but you outlined some key support levels that need to hold. You said gold, 1750, Huey at 282. If those are broken, does that mean that this April rally is nothing more than an oversold bounce?
Oh, it can mean a lot of things, Corey. It just means that we're probably in a deeper bottoming process that's not going to be quite so easy. I mean, that double bottom, let's call it 1675, as clear of a bottoming pattern as I think I've ever seen. We had a pretty good move the first few days off that bottom, where gold went up about $75 an ounce in about, a week or slightly more than a week. So that's a pretty good impulse move higher. I would not be surprised to come back to 1750 and then find more buying and then make new highs. Obviously, if 1750 is cracked, then it means that we probably have to test back under 1700 or at least to 1700 again. And, the bears, will say, yeah, that was a bear market rally. So it is kind of a key moment here, not necessarily this week, but the next couple of weeks, and how the, month of April closes up here on Friday. We'll definitely learn about, a lot more, especially when we have the price action on the Fed announcement.
Yeah, this monthly close is going to be important simply because it looks like April is going to put an end to at least those consecutively lower lows when it comes to closing month over month. Now, Robert, when you look at the gold sector then, after this 7-month correction and all the stocks that have sold off, what do you think it'll take to bring more investors into the space? Is it simply a rebound in the gold price, or is there something else that has to happen to attract, again, that other money to rotate into this sector?
We know that the junior mining sector in particular sort of rises and falls on gold price sentiment and gold market sentiment. And when gold is doing well, like we saw last summer, this sector is, it can just be incredible in terms of some of the moves, that it can make. And then on the flip side, when gold is out of favor, it feels awful to be in the sector and own some of these stocks, right? And so we've had the full gamut of emotions in junior mining and in the gold sector. We want good news. So good news can come in many different forms. It can come in the form of quarterly earnings for some of the majors, making big profits and paying dividends to shareholders. It could come in the form of acquisitions, of buyouts at nice premiums, which generates more free cash, for the sector to be put into other companies, that are still public, right? It could come in the form of institutions choosing to reinvest or invest more in the mining sector. And I think that we have some positive signs, mainly the battery, metals arena, copper and nickel, with the shortfall that we're staring at in copper supply, I have to think that we're going to see a lot of positive news in terms of investment flows into mining and copper mining, especially. So I think that is generally for the entire mining sector. But obviously with gold, there could be a multitude of catalysts. The biggest one being Fed, monetary policy, which tends to drive the bus for everything.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the problem is, recently, the Fed hasn't really done anything. The Fed has been almost historically boring during this weird period of time. So I guess we're just waiting to see what the Fed does tomorrow. But again, hard to expect that they might make any major changes. However, we did hear from the Bank of Canada last week about potentially starting to tighten their monetary policy. Robert, just one more quick question regarding what a recovery or what maybe this rebound in gold and the gold stocks looks like. Do you think we get another environment of what we saw last year, where it was almost a euphoric exponential rise?
That's really hard to say, because I feel like last year was a very exceptional time where we had this pandemic, central banks backstopping it with an unlimited amount of firepower, an unprecedented amount of firepower. So unless something like that were to happen again, I don't see gold going from 1500 to over 2000 in a matter of, 4 or 5 months like we saw last year, but, more of a grind higher. And again, if we look back to the monthly chart of gold, we'll see how the April candlestick closes, but right now it's a very positive candlestick, especially if it can extend above 1800 by Friday. But this bullish flag pattern on a much bigger time frame, a very standard pullback in the context of a bull market. And I've been pounding this point over and over again, and people are probably tired of hearing it, but it's the truth. When you go from 1167 to 2090 in two years, and then you pull back to 1675, that is actually very standard price action from a bigger picture standpoint in the gold market. So bigger picture, there's nothing to be bearish about or to be scared about in gold. This is still a secular bull market, a long-term secular bull market. Obviously, in shorter term, gold can do all sorts of crazy things and go up and down, $100 a day on various catalysts. But bigger picture, this is a bull market.
And that's the key, I think, for investors to note. But look, it's just been a lengthy 7+ month correction here. And I know that can bore some of the investors, but quite frankly, let's hope that April is really just the start of this rebound and new upward trend. One thing I want to quickly highlight with you here, Robert, something that you've been sharing with a lot of the guys that listen to you, is some of the truths about investing in the mining industry. Now, we don't have a whole lot of time to get into them, but for all the new investors coming into the industry, what's maybe one or two of the crucial points that you like to outline to everybody to try to give them a little heads up for what they're in for when investing in resource stocks?
Corey, that's a big topic. If I could say one thing or a couple of things, it would be that this is a very high risk. So, you have companies that don't have cash flow, they don't have profits, they have to go back to the market to raise capital to fund operations. There's no guarantee that they will ever have a mine, a profitable mine at that. And there's no guarantee they'll be bought out, et cetera, right? So there's a lot of risk, there's a lot of pitfalls, there's a lot of things that can go wrong during the life cycle of a junior mining company. On the flip side of that, the potential profits that one can get in the sector are also incredible, where you have companies that could go from 10 cents to many dollars per share, or in the best case is $20 per share, like a company that we've seen in the last few years. And obviously that's the best case, and that's a 1 in 1,000 sort of deal. So high risk, lots of upside, and very much prone to whims of investor sentiment. So it's not a lot of, I see a lot of investors on chat boards, good news, it was 6 grams per ton over 10 meters. Why isn't the stock going up on this result? This is a great news. And the truth is that the market is not always trading off of the news. Sometimes in 2018, companies would put out amazing news, huge assays. There was one example from the summer of 2018 where a company put out like 30 grams per ton over 10 meters. And then eventually everybody caught wind of it and it was a 10 bagger in a couple months. And then on the flip side of that, sometimes like last August, everybody's in this speculative frenzy and gold is $2,000 an ounce and companies are not putting out any news, or their news is really not that good, and the stocks are still going up, right? So it's much more of a sentiment, driven sector than anything else. So the moves can be outsized, can be huge, relative to the actual fundamentals change in the company story. There could be no fundamental change at all. The stock could be cut in half. Or on the flip side to that, there could be no fundamental change and gold could be rallying and you've got funds flowing into the sector. Maybe the company's paid somebody for a big marketing push and it could be a five bagger in a month. And so really the job of an investor, a speculator in the sector, is to navigate the extremes and to not buy the tops when the valuation is excessive, and then also maybe to pick some of these diamonds in the rough at bottoms or close to a bottom when the fundamental story is actually improving but the market is not taking note. And obviously all of those things I said are a lot easier in theory talking about than actually in practice.
Well, that's the key right there, isn't it, Robert? Right? Everything sounds good on paper sometimes, but when you actually put it to work, it doesn't necessarily play out that way in the market. However, you do bring up some good points of how people should at least be viewing some stocks when they're first getting into the market. And again, just knowing which stocks you like and sometimes being patient is the best strategy. We're going to continue this discussion as I have you back on the show in future segments, but I did just want to introduce that topic that you have been sharing with a lot of your subscribers over the last little while, actually. Robert, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time and updating us on what you're watching on these charts, especially. Robert, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
You too. Thank you.